like that and shout out that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He is the Master. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is what we've been focusing on all month in December. The whole thought of exalting Christ. He is not only the reason for this season. He is the reason why we have seasons in the first place. So, is he your Lion of Judah? Yesterday, we had the awesome privilege of being in this room and circling up right there and seeing Julie McCall baptized into Christ. Julie made a decision to make Jesus Savior of her life and Lord of her life. She is not here today. You'll be able to meet her. She is a wonderful woman, been studying in the Cooper's Life Group, and made a decision at some of the last chapters of her life to make Jesus her Savior and her Lord. It's a courageous decision, but it's one that is simply accurate and really who Jesus is. He is everything and more. And who he is requires every human being to bow down before him either now or later and say, Jesus is Lord. Personally, I want to do it on this end, amen? I don't want to wait. I don't want to delay. And that's why at 18 years of age, I decided to make Jesus Lord of my life. I'd already messed up the first 18. I didn't want to mess up the next. So this month, we've been focusing on this elevation of Jesus, this understanding that he is who he said he is, and really asking the question, who is Jesus to us? Who is Jesus to you? And we've been meditating, thinking about, focusing on one scripture. One verse, Hebrews 1:3. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I pray this meditation has changed your life. I pray that it's elevated Jesus in your mind to the point that he is above all your trials, all your struggles, all your worries, all the chaos in our lives. He is the radiance of God's glory. We discussed that. It's this light flashing forth, a gleam that shines through and breaks all darkness. That's that ray. That's Jesus. And he is this ray that we can only see, that we can only handle, because God's glory is too much for us. It's too bright. And this ray honors, praises, and shows God's intrinsic worth. So when you look at Jesus, you can praise God and honor God. We talked about how he is the exact expression of his nature. And I love when the Hebrew writer says this. He's trying to get these Christians who are struggling with going back to their original, back to the law, back to their traditions. And he's saying, he is bigger than all that. Don't go back. Keep on going forward. Keep on believing, even though it's tough times. And so he's saying, he is the exact expression. He is the graving tool used on a coin or a seal that reflects God's inner character. That's who Jesus is. So when you look at him, you see God. Don't give up the faith. Now, he also says that he sustains all things by his powerful word. A word can sustain. A word can carry. A word can lead. A word can bear the weight. A word can produce whatever you need to produce. And he's saying, believe in that word. That word of God sustains the universe. That word of God can sustain your life. And so we talked about how his powerful, dynamic word can sustain our life, our logic, our reasoning. Does it carry our reason? Does it lead our mind? Does the word lead our logic, our reasoning? Does it lead our or sustain our logistics, the details of life, our plans? Do we plan and then go to the Word, or go to the Word and then plan? Does the Word sustain our language? What we say, how we say it? Do we look to the Word? Does it sustain what we say? Does it sustain what we don't say? Do we not gossip because of His Word? Do we build people up and not tear them down because we trust that His words sustain relationships? As we learn for the first time, or as we learn again who Jesus is, how has this month influenced, changed the way you follow Jesus because you're remembering or understanding who he is? Let's have some sharing. How has this time, as we lift Jesus up, elevate him, how has it changed or influenced the way you follow? Yes.
Thank you. Ooh.
We really hear you now.
I have a tendency to want to sustain all things, be all over it, make sure nothing falls through the cracks. And just meditating on this particular passage has really given me peace. It's enabled me to chill, if you will, not be so, I don't know, I don't have the words, but it's really brought me a lot of peace and a lot of comfort and security, that there's nothing really I can do to sustain anything. Yeah. It's all about him, and it's reminded me daily, as soon as I get ready to try to sustain it, I've got to just pray. Mm. And not call somebody, because I have a tendency to call somebody too. But pray.
Yeah.
Then maybe call somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Nothing wrong with calling people, right? But trusting that God will sustain it and it'll bring you peace. I love that. Yes. He's coming.
To know that my struggle is against the evildoers and not people around me. Mm-hmm. Carries me through so many times and so many days at work that get me through from not walking out of my job and still have a job.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Well, I know for me, it's allowed me to look at people the way Jesus would look at them. Mm. And the perfect example is there's a bunch of different groups of golfers that I play with. And there's this one group of golfers that I play with where the guy that organized it is, his political persuasions, I would say, is very different from mine, okay? However, He just had surgery, and he's getting ready to come back, but he's coming out to visit, and he came out when we were playing the other day, and I told him he was my good luck, whatever, and he smiled, and he said, "I think you're the only guy out here that's happy to see me when I come." And, you know, I know that that's a testament to God working in my life and me being able to extend love to him and want to be united with him, even though we think differently.
Amen. Awesome. Amen. Awesome. Yeah. Yes.
Pat. Oh, so Susan sent, Susan Winter sent me this 25 days coming up to Christmas, the Advent, and just reading it and meditating on it and seeing that, you know, not really understanding the scripture in Genesis when it says he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Like, even back then, God had a plan for us, you know. He, and it's just, I've been reading it and just like being so humbled by it and being humbled, but at the same time, like, super grateful and super encouraged that God has chosen me to be an ambassador and has allowed me to be in the light. And so it's just, it's so beautiful and so humbling, and I'm just so grateful that I have this time at Christmas. So anyway,
awesome. That's awesome. You know, when we elevate God, that's where we can have humility. When we're prideful, what have we done? Elevated ourselves. So, a couple more. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Mary. Oh, okay, sorry. Well, this has helped me because I'm going through the book of Matthew now. And a lot of times, like I said, I'm listening to the Bible because I just have it on CD and I listen. And I have a different ear listening because, you know, sometimes I've, you know, thinking of Jesus, hearing Jesus and so forth, Jesus the man, but there's Jesus the God as well. So I'm listening to him, talking to his disciples, talking to people that wanted him to give them sight, talking to the Pharisees, the different ones, and it's so powerful for me because I'm going, wow, this is God talking to them. And seeing how people miss it so many times. And it helped me to see how common sometimes I've gotten with Jesus. But realizing he is Jesus man, but boy, he is definitely Jesus God.
Wow. You know? Wow. Good. Good. Yes, it is.
The part of the verse that says, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I think I was looking through my notes and something that I remembered was the fact that I felt like I was lacking confidence in myself. And the reason why is because my confidence needs to come from the Word of God.
Wow.
It doesn't need to come from what I think and my opinion and that sort of thing. That's where I can stand firm. And so, actually, I wrote that out on December 16th, so I've been trying to pray for that transformation to come about in my spiritual life, that I stand firm on the Word of God. That's where I get my confidence from. I don't have to be afraid or timid about any experience that I have because that's how I stand.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Now, I want to tell you something. I when I get up here and preach a sermon or share a sermon, I've done it to myself 15 times. Okay, so I'm coming up here going, "Whoo, this is what I've wrestled through." Okay, I never come up and say, "This is what y'all need to change." That's not, no. I'm saying I've done my soul searching, and I see where I need to make Jesus Lord again. And I'm asking the question, who is Jesus to me right now? Not what he was in 93 or 2003. Or last week, but right now. And by meditating on Hebrews 1:3, I've seen that he has become larger and wiser than my shortcomings and my trials. There's points in my life where the trials become larger than him. And through meditating on who Jesus really is, he's been elevated above my trials and my shortcomings. What I perceive I don't have, through meditating on the scripture, I realize that I do have in him. I also realized what I don't know, I'm reminded that Jesus does know. What I can't carry, now instead of trying to carry it, I'm looking to him to carry it. I'm looking for his strength, his help, and his perspective. So this verse has inspired me. And if I can give you an image, it's inspired me to stay on my canopy road versus trying to get on an LA freeway. Because sometimes my mind, I have a lot of different lanes that I see. But see, when you elevate Jesus, your life becomes simple. If your life is complex, it's because you're on too many lanes. At least that's what I'm telling myself and what I've learned. If we don't have an elevation of Jesus, we won't have true imitation and true transformation. We can have church attendance, good time with the fellowship, but you cannot transform because of the relationship of Jesus if he doesn't become greater in your life. This is a season to elevate his birth. And we have many different reenactments in different churches all around the city about reenacting and reliving this miracle birth. We just can't stop there, though. His birth was the beginning, but he essentially was born to demonstrate who the Father is. His birth was a miracle. His life was a masterpiece. His death was a murder. And his resurrection was simply a mic drop moment. Have you ever witnessed a mic drop moment? Have you ever been in a concert? How many of you ever been to a concert? How many of you ever been to a concert with a mic drop moment? Thank you. Good night. And you're going. How many of you ever been to those kind of concerts? Which one have you been to? You can be honest. I mean, I'll start it off. When I was 15, I went to a Prince concert. It was a mic drop moment. That little man was all over the stage. He was playing all these instruments, and it was a mic drop moment. I'm like, man, what a performance. It was a mic drop moment. What kind of, yeah, Thea? James Brown.
Dang.
The hardest working man in show business. James Brown, was it a mic drop moment? Yeah. I remember going to a James Brown concert when I was 5 years old. I was on the second row.
Dang.
I saw that man weaving and jiving and I fell asleep. I was tired, I was only five. But it was my mic drop James Brown moment. Yes, Kitty. Bruce Springsteen, yeah. I bet he delivered a mic drop moment, right? Who else? Yes. Patti LaBelle. I heard Patti LaBelle gets on the floor and crawls around and amazing. Takes the eyelashes off, okay. Not only a mic drop moment, but an eyelash dropping moment, right? Wow, wow. Mic drop moments. I mean, yes, Dan.
I saw an AC/DC concert. And they had cannons on stage.
Ooh, cannons on stage. It was a deafening performance. Yes, yes, Heather.
Well, my mic drop moment was not a concert, but the first one that came to mind when you said that was my granddad.
Uh-oh. And shot it. Wow. Wow. Heather sang her, for those who are listening, Heather said her 92-year-old grandfather had a mic drop moment when he dropped a basketball in a basket after stepping out of a car. Swish.
Steph Curry.
Amazing. Yeah.
Come on.
Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin. All right. Now, this mic drop moment. Felt great. You were in awe. But let me ask you a question. Did it change your life?
Yeah, for a minute.
Did it change your marriage? Did it change your character? Did it give you a hope of heaven? Did it forgive your sins?
There we go.
It was just a mic drop moment. It was like, yeah, I feel good, and you went on about your life. You know what's amazing about Jesus' life drop moment? And we'll read the verse. Hebrews 1:3. And this is the verse, this is the last part that we're focusing on today. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It was his mic drop moment. He lived, he died, he resurrected, went up to heaven, sat at the right hand of God. Mic drop moment. Could you imagine if Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Patti LaBelle, Prince, came to your house and did a concert for you personally? What would that be worth? What would you pay Patti LaBelle to come over to your house personally and perform? How much do you think she would charge? Right? More than you can afford, probably, right? Do you remember Green Book, the movie? Where this African-American savant of a piano player would go, he had his little group, and they would go into the homes of the wealthy, and perform. And they would pay them some money. He wanted it more for the experience of traveling, because he could have gotten more money elsewhere, but they had enough money to bring him into their home. Jesus had a mic drop performance, and he paid the price. It was free to us. He paid the price to have this mic drop moment. He came to this earth to make purifications for your sin, my sin. And then he, boop, mic drop moment, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. It was a mic drop moment. It was bigger than him healing a leper in Matthew 8. It was bigger than him healing a blind man in John 9, healing a paralytic. Those were mic drop moments, but nothing compared to this mic drop moment. There were no moments quite like this. The removal of both guilt and the stain of sin. He took our sins, he bore them, he removed them, he abolished them, and the priest could not do that. He was the high priest. What a mic drop performance. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and after he resurrected, he sat down. He rested. He took a seat at God's right hand of greatness in heaven. The greatest performance, the greatest mic drop performance we'll ever see. And he did it for you. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior? Is he saving you from yourself? Is Jesus forgiving your sins? Are you the recipient of the gift of His Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter? Is He saving you from peer pressure and popular opinion to the point where only His opinion matters? You're doing it for Him. Is He saving you from materialism, providing you a contentment that is out of this world, that brings about a peace in your life? You're not trying to keep up with the Joneses. You don't even know they live down the street. Is He saving you from worldliness? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? And is He your Lord? We understand that He is the Lord. But this morning, is He your Lord? What He says, you do. You don't think about it. You don't comment on it. You don't go, that sounds really good. You actually apply it to your life. Where He says, you go. You don't make a detour. You don't go, I'll get around to it tomorrow. You go there. When He says it, you respond. Do you trust His leadership? Do you trust where He's taking you as your shepherd, even though you don't know where you're going? Do you trust His leadership? Because who He is. Who is Jesus to you? I pray that He is the radiance of God's glory in your eyes. I pray that He is the exact expression of God's nature in your mind. I pray that in your life He is the sustainer of all things because of His powerful word. I pray that He is the remover of every one of your sins. He is the and your mic drop hero who sits down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Today, we have a young man who has decided to make Jesus His Savior and His Lord, and that's J.C. Simmons. Stand up, J.C., where are you? Stand up, J.C., where are you? There it is, all right. J.C. Is going to make that decision. He already made that decision. He's going to get baptized tomorrow night at 7 p.m. right here. So please come and witness this miracle. Witness this young man, under 20 years of age, who has decided that he's had enough of himself. He's ready to die in the waters of baptism. And we're so proud of his decision, so proud of his courage. Because at that age, it's not easy. At any age, it's not easy. But we thank God for him, and we look forward to celebrating his new life tomorrow night. So come, join us, and witness the miracle. Let's say a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be reminded of, Father, who you are. Thank you for your many mic drop moments. Father, we thank you for the one on Calvary. Thank you for the resurrection power that gives us hope, that we can trust in your promises. We thank you, Father, for the way that you pick us back up when we fall, the way that you lead us when we're straying away, the way that you remind us when we forget, the way that you strengthen us when we're weak. Father, throughout this holiday season, pray that, Father, we would not only celebrate your miraculous birth, that, Father, we would celebrate your life, your death, your resurrection, and all of your mic drop moments. Help us to follow you. Help us to be transformed by this relationship. And, Father, help us to share with others who you really are, our hero, our Savior, and our Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.